Well, prior to the pandemic, I produced segments called Let's Visit, where I was driving around visiting different communities and talking with people in those communities. So we're tweaking my Let's Visit programming, and I get to zoom around and just talk with people via Zoom. And this morning, I'll be talking with Tom Lucas on this day dedicated to one of the most influential American orators of all time, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I thought it would be a great time to reach out to Tom. He's been coaching kids in the Bemidji area as they hone their own speech skills. And he's recently won what's called the Diamond Award for his service to his craft. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Katie. How are you?
I'm great. Great to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too.
As you know, I'm a mother of a speech kid, and I just
recently found that out. Yeah,
it's funny when you have a different name than your kid, you both get to be a little bit anonymous sometimes in the world. It's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. So you just came off your first speech tournament of the year. How'd it go?
All in all, I would say it went remarkably well. You know, there's a lot of technical issues with this, and that's one of the things that I think what happened last year, last spring, when COVID hit and kind of pulled the rug on the season. In a lot of cases, it was a matter of, you know, just a couple of weeks before postseason competition. And they kind of held it open as a possibility that we might be able to do something at the end of the season. So we had our hopes up, but it became, you know, increasingly obvious that this was going to be a long-term thing. But what happened in the process was coaches already were looking ahead to the season and trying to figure out how to do this in a manner that would be that would meet you know, COVID restrictions. And so really it's a process that's been going on for many months to determine, you know, how it was we could make this happen. So yeah, this was our first virtual speech tournament that happened on Saturday. And you know, I likened it a little bit to, you know, sensing, you know, mission control, I think, with all the coaches together in a Zoom room, trying to figure out all the technical glitches that happen at the beginning of the day, because you have a lot of uneven technology that exists for students and for teams. But when it was all said and done, I think all of us were like, okay, we can fix this. We can look into this. We can, you know, maybe do this differently. But all in all, to run, you know, what we call a synchronous tournament, most of us came out of it feeling pretty good.
Excellent. So many moving parts. I didn't know a lot about speech competitions until my daughter was in speech competitions. Can you describe it to our listeners? I feel like if you don't have a kid involved or know a kid involved, it's hard to wrap your head around what is going on at these tournaments. There's a lot happening.
Well, and I would take it a step further, because I know that over the years we've had individuals, you know, I recall a school board member, after we'd done a presentation for the school board, this is many years ago now, had asked to come up and watch a practice, and he was stunned, frankly, that we were doing that here. You know, he didn't know that. He didn't understand what this was. But speech competitions, you know, there are categories for just about anybody that would want to participate. We have 13 Minnesota State High School League categories. They're all different, at least slightly, from one another, and some of them are very different. You know, we have one category that's where it's not even what you would imagine would be the category of discussion, where we have, you know, six or seven students sitting around a table with you know, with the judge, and they're trying to reach consensus on a task that they've been given that's, you know, that falls under one general umbrella for the season that's been, you know, laid down by the Minnesota State High School League. But we also have, you know, categories divided into, you know, what we call, at least, you know, our division is public address versus interpretation categories. And public address categories are more research-based, and they're more oratorical skills. We have informative and oratory and great speeches, and we put discussion into that category, and extemp speaking, which is, you know, they draw a current events topic and then have 30 minutes to prepare a 7-minute argument, taking a side on the question that they've been given, which is an extraordinary skill and probably the most difficult category, but they're all amazing when they're done well. And then we have, you know, as you know, we have another extemporaneous category is reading, in which they have the students have a list of stories that they would practice, and then they draw and they choose one and then have 30 minutes to practice a performance. But in some of the other categories, they've they've already done what they need to do as far as the development of the speech. It's just a matter of getting better at the delivery through the course of the year. Typical tournament, it runs, you know, I mean, 300 to 500 students. I mean, that's a typical tournament during the course of the season. I know at our invite, we've had as many as, I think 560 was the largest event that we've had over the years. And again, just running those categories in individual classrooms. So what some people don't understand about it is that each room then has a judge, and there are typically 6 to 7 students per round. And then they have 3 rounds of competition with different students and different judges. And then the top scorers from those rounds, you know, the ones who have been ranked, the top speakers, then are potentially going to move into the final round, which is with a judge panel there. And the judge panel then, you know, they all contribute their scores, and we develop, you know, the award winners at the end of the day based on that. So a typical tournament, I mean, you know, if we're traveling, which we're not this year, but if we're traveling, typically we're on the road at, you know, anywhere from about 5 a.m. to 7 a.m, depending on how far the tournament is away. And oftentimes we don't get back until, you know, 7 or 8 or 9 o'clock at night. So it's a day long event, and it happens every Saturday during the season, which typically starts in mid-January and goes until the postseason tournaments are wrapped up in mid-April.
It is something. I worked the concession stand last year at one of the tournaments here in Bemidji, and just to see those kids, so many, hundreds of kids dressed up like business professionals, and they're lighthearted and supportive of each other, but then you see them practicing, you know, they're just talking to the wall in the hallway, you know, just delivering their speeches and working on their timing and their, where they're going to emphasize different things. It's really, really impressive to see these kids go through this whole process. So let's talk about some of the life skills that kids take away from speech that can really carry them through their careers and their personal lives too.
You know, I bias as a speech coach, but I'd be happy to make the argument, you know, that that really it prepares you for everything. And anything, you know, you made a reference earlier to, you know, Martin Luther King and his, you know, remarkable oratorical skills, and, you know, try to imagine the, you know, a world that, where the leaders of movements did not have the access, to the importance of the spoken word. And, it would be hard to imagine moving anything forward if that were not the case. And I think most people in their lives, because we've had students go on, you know, to Ivy League careers, and we've had students with law degrees, but I don't know that there's one that's come out that hasn't benefited in some way from their involvement in the activity. You know, I try and, you know, I always emphasize, because some people think it's all about, you know, learning how to speak in front of people without being nervous. And I can honestly say that I don't think that's it. And what I've more or less told them, you know, you can be nervous and you can be, you know, you can have that nervous energy, but how do you channel that energy so that it doesn't appear that you have it is more, I think, of the skill that we train. And that comes in a lot of cases through repetition, but it comes through growth. I mean, it comes through, you know, if you watch students, you know, that come in as sixth graders and seventh graders, as we sometimes have them come into, you know, the middle school program with Donna Hickerson, with those just very basic skills are very, you know, they don't know what they're getting into in a lot of cases either. But we watch them develop over the course of about, you know, 5 or 6 years into being able to put on performances where people watch this and say, I can't believe students are doing this. You know, I mean, I can't believe they have this ability. I mean, I just went through a debate season where, you know, we're watching 10th graders debate over international nuclear policy. And, you know, you try and picture them 4 years earlier, you know, as seventh graders and sixth graders. And they advanced that fast through this, through repetition. And I've said for really since I started coaching that if you give students an opportunity to be brilliant, they will be brilliant most of the time. But you have to give them the chance to do this. And I really think this activity provides a venue and provides an opportunity for these students to really experience great growth in their communication and then in their creativity.
Yeah, and self-confidence too. How long have you been coaching?
It's you know, all told, I think I've been in it about 20 years.
Okay.
I had for a number of years, actually since competing in high school, I really kind of wanted to get involved and stay involved because I did it from 7 through 12 in high school, and it was a big part of my own experience in education. And I parlayed that. I mean, myself, you know, of course, I went into broadcasting when I was very young, and I've turned out that I've made a career of that. But I did take, I did actually get a teaching degree in English and speech communication, and managed to, I guess when I left that, was talked into, you know, going back into radio in Bemidji, you know, to be able to continue to do that through the coaching angle, which actually was a great opportunity for me because it's something I always really wanted to do. So I love coaching, and I hope, it's in some way to continue to do it even beyond the point where perhaps, I have to retire from coaching. I do intend to stay involved. But it's been a while, yeah.
You just won a big award called the Diamond Award for your coaching. What is that?
The Diamond Award is from the National Speech and Debate Association, which is kind of the guiding organization of speech and debate nationally in education. And that was one thing that, some schools choose to get involved and some schools do not because, it is an additional. And of course, in our case, we fund it independently, our involvement in it. But it's a great incentive program for students. And what it provides for them is they have, they get points for their performances and they have various levels of achievement that they can get. Well, while they're doing that, coaches are also getting points for their students' achievements. If you didn't have a moderately successful program over a period of years, it's something that does come with it. Eventually, you'll reach the thresholds where you get acknowledged. But it's a nice cap. I mean, it's a nice thing. And this is actually my second diamond because you once you reach the first level is 15,000 student points. And then you go to the next level when you get another 15,000. So for me, that's my second one.
Wow.
And it's hard to get a third. I mean, there are coaches that do it, but it's, they'd have to start a lot younger than I did in order to do that. And to be, to have a very large program as well, like some of the metro schools do, they can accumulate, points a lot more rapidly, but it's a nice acknowledgement and I'm proud that we've done it. And I would say that, Anna Hammond, who's been my assistant for 15 years, she's getting close to a threshold for her first Diamond Award as well. So I'm hoping that she's able to reach that maybe as early as this year. We'll find out. It depends on how we do as a team through the course of the year, but it's a nice honor.
Yeah. So being a mom of a speech kid is a bit of a roller coaster, and I have one person at my house who's in the speech program, and it can be a roller coaster. How do you weather the ups and downs, and what keeps you going?
That's an excellent question, and I will say honestly that at the end of most seasons, I wonder about whether or not I can come back and do it. And I don't know if that's true for coaches in all activities, but yeah, it is they have a lot. Students have a lot of it on the line when they do this.
Yeah.
We want them all to do it. I mean, as many students as could possibly be motivated to do this, we want to give them the opportunity. You have students come in, some have a good skill set for competition and they have a leg up, but in a lot of other cases, you're starting from somebody who isn't sure what category they want to do. And you try and find a spot for them. And then in a lot of cases, you try to, you find a way individually with them. And that's one of the things that's unique about this activity is almost all of the work that you do is individual work, with students. So it's very time consuming. And in many cases, again, if things don't go well in a subjective activity, even you can go out and give a magnificent performance and there may be a judge that sees it and doesn't think so. And you have to talk them through that in many cases and help them to understand. I think because each judge offers, critique, comments, in addition to scoring you. In a lot of cases, we go through the critiques with the student and say, okay, here's something that you know that we think might benefit you. And it all, sometimes it depends on who the judge is as well, because some of them are just trying to come up with something to help the students.
Yeah.
We may not agree with the perspective of the judge, and in some cases, we just have to work through it and say, okay, here's the deal. You know, we've been at this a while, and I can tell you that, you know, that this is one you can just chalk up to experience and move on. And there are others that we really think can benefit them. We'll certainly, we value that advice.
Yeah.
It's also unique in that it's one of the only activities where the officials of, you know, the people who judge are also the coaches of the various programs, and they're involved with the various programs. So, because of that, you know, it's everybody has to have the same mindset, I think, from a coaching standpoint, that we're part of a community. And I think the vast majority of coaches in the activity are coaches that want everybody to benefit. They want all students to benefit from, you know, no matter where they're from.
Yeah.
And that helps the activity thrive.
Well, thanks for all you're doing for these kids. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much, Katie. And it's, it's been a great run. As I said, I don't imagine getting out of it. No matter what the future holds, I think it's something I'll stick with for as long as I can and as long as I'm welcome.
Awesome. Thank you, Tom Lucas. Have a great season.
Thanks, Katie.
You're welcome. That's Tom Lucas. He is a speech coach with Bemidji High School's speech and debate teams. You listen to Let's Visit on Northern Community Radio. Let's Visit is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the citizens of Minnesota.